We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bring in our brother, our friend. We've got to know him over the last couple years. Ian Williams, former 49er defensive lineman, not doing big things with NBC Sports Bay Area, along with us here at 95.7 The Game. Ian, saw you protesting over the weekend peacefully, and we applaud you for doing that, using your platform to speak up. Ian, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Good morning, man. I'm doing all right, Bonte, man. Just been trying to, like I said, like you just said, just to keep the peace in San Jose and also get our word out.
How was it out there in San Jose? Can you, we saw some of the videos here. Just what made you, first of all, what made you go out there to protest in San Jose? What made you go out there, Ian?
Well, first off, I didn't even know San Jose was doing anything. And I took a nap earlier Friday, and I woke up and I saw on CNN that San Jose was on there. I was like, oh, shoot. So I know they were down there protesting. And then I saw an officer had got punched and there was a commotion and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, you know what? I got to do something. Now, I didn't know they were going to be down there. So I headed down there. And at first I got down there. It was cool. I had Caps jersey and I'm just walking up and down the line, just trying to keep everybody cool and just say what you need to say, have your posters out. And then there's a few people in the back just came, like, straggle in, and they threw some rocks and threw a couple bottled waters at the cops, and that's when all hell broke loose, and they started shooting the flash bombs and the rubber bullets and stuff like that. And that's when it got pretty scary for me because I had never really experienced anything like that. And that was my first time being at a protest, and one of those flash bombs, like, burst, like, probably a few feet away from me, and my ears were ringing. I kind of ran off, and once I ran off, I forgot I had left Caps jersey. All the commotion, it had fell out of my hand. I just started running. I wasn't thinking. And I ended up going back to the scene, and obviously the jersey was gone. I don't know if the cops took it or somebody else took it. I'm sure somebody else took it. It was the authentic jersey, too. Good thing he ain't signed it or nothing for me. So, yeah, and then later on in the day, they kind of we were over by the Fairmont, that park right there, and they kind of, like, pushed us into that area. For the most part, you know, at that time, you know, we were pretty much peaceful, but they started shooting some more flash bombs and some more rubber bullets and stuff like that. There was a guy in the crowd that got hit in the pinky, and kind of his pinky was hanging by the flesh. And, you know, this is the little things that, you know, the protesters, for the most part out here, were being peaceful. And then later on that night, that's when it got a little bit bad, where as people were leaving out, they started, like, trying to bust windows. I forget the street is, but it's like perpendicular to the Marriott downtown San Jose. They were just busting. It's like a yogurt land down there. They're trying to bust the windows. I was like, yo, like, the kid was, like, about to grab a Uber scooter and about to bust the window. I'm like, bro, like, don't do that, man. Like, he's like, why? I'm like, that's not why we're here. We're not here to vandalize and break down businesses that had nothing to do with it. Like, this business didn't do anything to you, so leave them alone. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you wouldn't want somebody else going to your home and breaking down windows in your home, you would get mad too, right? That's why they shooting at us. So, like, chill out. But that's pretty much what happened Friday. And then Saturday was chill. And then Sunday, I went down there. Kim, one of our photographers for the Niners, she came down and joined me. And it was a peaceful protest in front of City Hall at San Jose. It was a good time. I saw a lot of good people down there. But the main thing was, I remember she had a friend that came out, and I guess they text her saying, is it okay that my 15-year-old comes out? And I just said, like, no, it's just, you know, I don't know if it's going to be safe or not for her to come out, because know, I don't know these protesters like that. You know, like, I don't know if it could be that random person that throws something, and the next thing you know, all mayhem happens, and I'm walking up and down. So I pretty much just try to keep the peace, you know, amongst the line. You know what I'm saying? I understand you people want to say things. I appreciate everybody that was out there. It was just a melting pot of races out there, and I love seeing it because there's so many people standing up for us that, you know, don't look like us, don't look like me. And that's the change that we need. We need everybody to be speaking up. But there was an instance where I was like just walking up and down the line, just trying to keep a distance between the protesters and the cops. And there was a lady, two black girls, and they were just, you know, they were kind of crying and staring at the officer's face. And I was like, sweetie, I know, I feel your pain. I'm black too. I got kids too. Like, I feel you, but just back up, because, you know, a friend of mine just said they're asking if their 15-year-old would be safe to be out here. So if you stand too close and now all of a sudden commotion happens, that 15-year-old won't be safe. So, and we want that 15-year-old to be able to come out here and see what's going on so that they can be a part of the next generation that carries the torch so that we can continue to fight racial injustice and what's going on to minorities in this country. But for the most part, I want peace. I want change. I don't want no violence. And then for the people who, you know, care more about, you know, the properties and the buildings than a man's life, I mean, you're part of the problem. I mean, I understand, you know, that's not the way to do it, like rioting, but like, what do you expect when you don't make change, when you don't listen to people for years and years and years, and things just keep constantly happening? Hashtags every other week, every other day. And then Ahmaud Arbery and then Breonna Taylor, like all like within like weeks. And then George Floyd. And then it was just so much. Especially for that town in Minneapolis. People are like, well, why are they doing that to Minneapolis? Why are they doing that to the Target? Well, they were peacefully protesting in Minneapolis. And then when the commotion started happening, they started shooting the tear gas, the people went to that Target to try to get milk and supplies to kind of help with the wounds and pour out some of the milk in their eyes to help with the tear gas. And the Target denied them. So that's why they looted that Target and destroyed that Target. And then around that city, you know, it's been multiple instances where that's where Philando Castile was shot and his officer went free. Nothing happened to his officer. So, and then also the Minnesota Lynx, you know, the basketball team, when Eric Garner got choked out in New York, you know, they protested and they wore their I Can't Breathe shirts. And as soon as they stepped onto the court, the Minneapolis police left the court, you know, left the stadium and just left, you know, left the team and the organization without any security. So, you know, little things like that have happened in Minneapolis over the years. So that's why, you know, it had boiled over to that point. And there was also another officer, Mohamed Noir, I can't really say his last name, that, you know, shot a unarmed woman, and it was an accident, and he got 12 and a half years. And they did that immediately. So, you know, it's been certain instances where it's been boiling over in Minneapolis. So that's why it happened like that, because those people hadn't been heard, and that was their way of being heard. So, but out here in San Jose, George Floyd didn't happen here in San Jose. So there's no need for you to destroy the buildings. There's no need for you to destroy this and da da da. Now, I do want to say what happened in Oakland with those two officers, the two federal officers, that was disgusting. And whoever did that, I'm not with that. I'm not with that. That's just wrong right there. Those people have families. They probably have kids that they won't be able to go home to now. Don't go around and be shooting random people. That's not the point. That person didn't do anything to you. So if I can say anything to the people out there trying to protest, trying to get their forces across, do it peacefully and do it correctly. And that's how we're going to do it. And then get into the voting booths later on this fall and vote and beat them up in the booths. You know what I'm saying? Shoot them up in the booths. Don't shoot them up out on the streets where you don't even know who this person is. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty much my whole little gist of what happened Friday and Sunday. And I'm looking for some things to do this week. I'm hoping people reach out to me if they have any protests, especially here in the Bay Area, like relatively close. I mean, I'm going to have me drive all the way up to Vacaville or somewhere like that, you know, to drop off supplies. Like, come on, people, like, right. Be realistic, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm only right. One person, you know, I can only, Santa Claus can only get so far. I just want to drop off, you know, food, water, milk, whatever it may be for people trying to protest, because that's what this is, man. We just need everybody to stand up and say something and speak out, because it's those people who fall through the cracks that I can't reach, that maybe that one follower that I have that lives in this one town that I've never been to, that has, you know, some questionable people that can possibly hear a message or hear a post or see a post and be like, all right, I see what they're saying. All right, I should stand up or I need to change my ways. And that's how it needs to be. You know what I'm saying? It's all a buddy system now. You know what I'm saying? It's all pay it forward now. And that's what we need. We need everybody to be speaking up because it's not just a black problem. It's a humanity problem. We're all human beings. We all got red in our veins. We all born and we all die the same. You know what I'm saying? So we're all the same. We just have different pigmentations because of where we were, where we were born. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, I'm just proud of to see, you know, all the protesters out there just trying to be peaceful and trying to do the right thing.
Ian, you're a big man, you know, and I'm wondering when you were out at the protest, is there a way you can, like, do you feel like more eyes are on you than, let's say, would be on someone like me, just a 5'11" white guy? I mean, do you feel like when you're out there, you really have to mind your P's and Q's more than other people?
Not really. I mean, I'm out there to just police us, you know what I'm saying, and make sure that there's a line in between us and the cops. And if it gets too crazy, I try to, like, hey, calm down. I also turn my back so I don't get hit in the face or something with one of the rubber bullets because I saw the damage those can do. But for the most part, no, I don't want the eyes on me. I want the eyes on the people who are protesting with the signs that they have come up with some clever phrases or whatever they see. They felt that they were compelled to say that they want these officers to see. I want the officers also to see the people. You know, these are the people that you are supposed to be protecting. When you sign, when you give that oath that you are here to serve and protect, you are laying down your life to protect another person's life. So that other person's life is more important than yours when you have that badge. And I want, you know, both sides to be able to see each other and understand we are both people. Just because you have a badge and a different color suit on and you have a gun doesn't make you any more different than me with a pack of Skittles in a Arizona sweet tea. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm no different than you. You just have a badge and a gun. Like, we're still people. We're still the same.
Hey, Ian, props to you, man, for going out there, you know, putting in work. I was on my couch with the remote. You know, I'm down for the cause, but I didn't go out lightweight, scared to. And just seeing you go do what you said you were going to do, man, that was awesome. Let me ask you this. I'm telling the fellas, I got a lot of thoughts going through my head. What do you find more offensive? The fact that it took Minnesota to tear stuff up for the cop to get charged, which now I'm looking at it like they only did that to appease the masses, or the fact that the other three cops haven't been charged?
I would say the whole thing. You know, just the fact that you had to go out there and tear down the city just to make sure someone gets taken to jail. Not kidding.
Yes.
You know, there's no charges that have happened yet. And it's just sad. And I hope just people just see this is the system. And Sean King, who's an activist, who posts a lot, who keeps everybody pretty much informed of what's going on with racial injustices, he said pretty much the system's working exactly how it was meant to be. And that's the crazy part. It's working perfectly. It's meant to protect the people who are supposed to be protecting us when they do something wrong. And you shouldn't have to force minorities or a group of people to have to destroy anything to get their point across so that justice can be served. The justice system is there to protect us and oversee until you are guilty. You're innocent until proven guilty. And for the most part, especially up there, it has not been going on in this country. It has not been going on correctly as it states in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I don't know if y'all remember. I remember every day in class, growing up, elementary, middle school, high school, every day before school started, what did we say? What did we sing? The national anthem. Every day, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Those last words, we said that every day since I was 4 years old until I was 18 and graduated and went to college. I said those words every morning, and I didn't realize not one time that those three words at the end didn't register and didn't fit me because I was black or I was a darker skin color. So it's little things like that. And then Guru,
You don't have to be out there. I know you support. I know you're there with us. You don't have to be, because you got a voice, bro, and you're using your platform to speak out and reach out people. You don't have to go out there and do what you need to do. Just like back in the 60s and the 50s and the 70s for the civil rights movement, not everybody was out there. You know, there was people who had to work, had to do other things, but they were right there hand in hand, shoulder in shoulder with those people who were out there doing the marches and risking their lives. Just because you're not risking your life out there don't mean you're not risking your life when you step outside, you go to work, or you go to the grocery store. So I know you're right there with me, Guru.
Right on.
That's well said, Ian. Ian Williams here on 95.7 The Game, and we thank you for the time today. Just real quick, you talked about the Kaepernick jersey, and I saw that photo of you with the Kaepernick jersey, and I'm a little sad that you did lose that authentic, because authentic jerseys, man, they're one of a kind. speaking of Kaepernick, though, to me, Ian, let me know if you feel me on this one. Like, to me, it irks me that I see a lot of think pieces now that's saying, oh, man, Kaepernick, this is what Kaepernick was talking about. Oh, man, how could we miss the message here? Where it's just like, it felt like all the narratives tried to make us forget what the original message was. And this weekend, when we see all the headlines and we see the newscasts and they're talking about the looters and the protesters, it feels like they're trying to make us forget what the original, how this all originated, what this originated from. The George Floyd murder. That's what it's all about. It's about George Floyd. Arbery. It's about all these guys getting murdered. It feels like the narrative is shifting again, like the Kaepernick incident. How do you feel about that, Ian?
Well, first thing about Cap. So that whole thing right there, if you just look at how it all went down and how fast forward a few years later, how and where we are now, the irony of him taking a knee, like just look at the irony of it, him taking a knee and then fast forward a few years later, an officer takes a knee on a man's neck for almost 10 minutes and kills him. Like Hollywood couldn't even script this up. This is real life reality. And he did it. And he was a sentence. He went into the future, came back, knew what was going on, and tried to take a knee and tried to warn the country, tried to warn the nation, this is where we're going. And somehow, some way, people lost the message of what he was trying to come across and speak out against. He even reached out to a Green Beret who used to come and speak to us when we had Harbaugh in our little meetings, say, hey, man, what should we do? What should I do so I can do this correctly? And he told him, I need you to take a knee instead of sitting down. And he did that. And people still want to twist it that he's disrespecting the flag. Bonte, let me ask you this. When else is he supposed to protest? When is he supposed to take a knee? Is he supposed to take a knee on Monday when he's in meetings, getting prepared for the Chicago Bears? Where nobody's
exactly
around? No. Is he supposed to take a knee in front of the media when on Tuesday when he's on the field practicing? No. Is he supposed to take a knee when he gets to the stadium and he starts warming up when everybody's supposed to be warming up? Is he supposed to just sit there and take a knee? Like, what are you doing, Cap? You're taking a knee. What are you doing? Is he supposed to take a knee the first series when he gets when he snaps the ball? Is he supposed to just take a knee on first and 10? You know what I'm saying? When is he supposed to take a knee? That's the problem with people. When is it okay to protest?
Right.
Because if you silently protest, it's not okay. If you riot, it's not okay. Can you vote? It's like no way to protest to please people. Like, and that's my question. How else do you want people to protest? Because now when you push out and you alienate a peaceful protester, this is Minneapolis is what you get. What you're seeing on CNN across the country is what you get when you peacefully protest and you get blackballed or you get called an SOB by the president of the free world. It's little things like that add up, and now you're seeing the culmination of what has happened over the past few years of just not being heard and no changes happening. And it's only going to get worse. And I'm just hoping, I'm praying, just like you said, that the charges is like they just threw those charges on just to get them out there. Like the murder charge probably won't stick because they have to get enough evidence. I know they want to go for first and second, but they don't have any evidence for premeditated. But that manslaughter, especially in many Minnesota, I think it's like 20, 25 plus years. So hopefully they get him on that and they fully get him on that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I still think it's a possibility that him and Derek Chauvin, the officer, they had to have known each other because they worked at that club, that the El Nuevo club. They did security work. And there is no way that you do security with somebody and you don't know who you're working with because you're doing security. That's the whole point of doing security, knowing everything so you can secure and protect people. So there is no way that they didn't come across each other. And maybe something happened one night where one person took it too far or didn't take it too far. And it's like, oh, you like that? Okay. Oh, you like that? Well, you're not a real cop. All right, let me catch you in these streets. Let me see what happens in these streets. Mm-hmm. And that's like, it has to be more, because when I'm looking at the video and I see Derek Chauvin on this man's neck and the way he's looking at him, that's like, it's just like, yeah, I got you now. That's the way it looked to me. So like little things like that, this is what this country is seeing. And and what you're seeing on TV now is a response to that. And it's just sickening. And I just hope it ends, because if not, like, it's like the Rodney King riots, like all those officers got off and they tore that city down. And as of right now, you're seeing the whole country being torn down. So I can only imagine if those officers get off and they get non-guilty verdicts, it's going to be even worse. And I pray to God that something like that doesn't happen, because justice needs to be served. And this is exactly what people are rioting and looting for, because justice needs to be served. Now, excuse me, the looting. Nah, I ain't cool with the looting. Like, what y'all over here stealing Prada and going to Dior? Like, well, like, what's that going to do? Like, how's that? Like, what are you doing? Right. Like, come on now. You know, come out here and protest and let your voice be heard. But yeah, I'm just over here rambling. But you get my point.
We definitely get it. Steiny, you got one for Ian? You got one last one?
No, just, you know, you started by saying, you know, you went down there just to get the word out. Is the phrase you use. What's that word to you, Ian, that you want to get out there?
We all equal, man. We all God's children. We all equal. We all deserve manifest destiny. We all deserve to be able to wake up, go to the store, and feel unthreatened, just like any other person that doesn't have any darker skin feels unthreatened with their days. I have friends from high school that I've been getting in arguments with because they're out on the boat relaxing. And I had a friend post on her story the other day, like, I'm just going to sit this one out. So I messaged her, and I messaged everybody that we went to high school with, like, hey, what is up with this person? Really? So you sat in class, cheated off me. We hung out, we partied, whatever, together. We were in high school. And now all of a sudden, I need you to fight for me. I'm fighting for my life out here. I'm fighting for people who look like me. You can't even fight for me. Like, really? It's like that? When I say the word, it's your voice. I need your presence. I need your voice. I need everything about you, because I am literally fighting for my life. Just like you would be fighting for your life, and I would try to do my best to be there. I'm fighting for my life, and minorities are fighting for their lives. Hispanics, Latinos, Blacks, Arabs, Middle Eastern people, all people who aren't white are fighting for their lives right now. And we need everybody who's white, Black, brown, purple, green, yellow, whatever color you are. It don't matter. Everybody is everybody. We all came from one person. We all the same. We just have different pigmentation. That's the word. We all equal, man. And I hate that people look at people like that. Like, I have never been taught to look at somebody by the color of their skin and judge them. I wasn't taught, and I wasn't raised like that. I wasn't raised like that. My mom did not raise me like that. I had been around. I went to predominantly, my high school was mostly Black and Hispanic, and then the whites were pretty much the minority in my high school. And then I go to college, which is predominantly white, a Catholic white school. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I had a great time up there. I loved it, and people loved me up there. So I've never looked at anybody like, oh, you're white, or okay, this and that. I've never, never, and I never will. And I hope this changes in this country, because we are all the same. Now, are there bad people? Are there good people? Yes, of course. There's good and evil. We've been taught that. We know the Bible. We know Revelations. We know all this. We know common sense. There's good and bad people. We know this. Duh. We're adults. Now, my 3-year-old may not know that because she's a 3-year-old. But us adults who have common sense, we should know these types of things. Good and bad is always like that. But for the most part, we're all equal. We're all people.
Ian, well said, man. Well said. Glad you came to join us today, man. We thank you very much. If you come up to the city today, shoot me a text, man. I'll come out there and join you. If you're passing out water or whatnot, I'll come out there and join you and make sure we're fighting a good fight, man. You're a good dude, Ian. We love you. And stay safe out there.
I appreciate it. And then the last thing before I go, Dante Pettis. You know, he's been trying to reach out on Twitter, trying to get something together. And honestly, I'm just going to say this right now. It would be huge. It would be like so much love that all the like celebrities and athletes in the Bay Area, we all come together in one spot and we stand together. That would be like so dope. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
All the athletes in the Bay Area, like former, current, past, present, all come together. Celebrities, E-40, everybody, GEs, everybody in the Bay Area just come together and we all stand together and we show that the Bay Area, San Francisco, we're united. You know how the Warriors have the SF Unite and the Warriors Unite? It's time for the Bay Area to unite. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even from out here, and I'm over here rocking with the Bay Area. You know what I'm saying? So it's time for everybody to stand up and do this thing together.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.